a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxing. Give me down to there, shoulder length longer. Dear baby, there, mama, everywhere, daddy, daddy.
That's the sound of the horn. You're listening to Whammy Radio,
the only podcast in the World Wide Web with the balls to break down the walls. And my balls have been broken because I got a special celebrity guest, Chris Wilde. Your birth name?
My birth name is not Chris Wilde. That is my sham celebrity name.
You have to give it to us.
Well, my birth name, because when you join the Screen Actors Guild, there's only one name per actor. So my birth name is Jack Nicholson.
Oh, my God.
Okay, whatever. Chris Wilde and Mike Jaglin are the host of LA Clipcast, one of the podcasts I listen to almost every week. They're also a member of SB Nation, whom I got a chance to interview Steve Perrin for in my special edition of Whammy Radio Clippers podcast. Did you get a chance to listen to all the features that I put in on the podcast? I had Jimmy Church. I had Fred Katz. I had Steve Perrin. Later,
dude, you are pulling in huge guests over there on Whammy Radio. You're doing something right on Whammy Radio. You've got pull. You may get Clippers media credential at this point. Wow. You may coach the third quarter of game one.
Third quarter, that would be very interesting. But I will not do it without Natalie Nakase. I need some Asian support. I need some Mexican support because we got Gustavo Ayón and Jorge Gutierrez in the NBA.
You're damn right you do. That's two guys.
Yeah, you know, because I'm Mexican-American. I'm Chicano. I got love for the Latin race, you know. I actually did something a few years ago called the Pocos Pero Locos podcast. I had 4 hours of, like, Latin hip-hop, reggaeton, Chicano rap. I played names like Little Rob, Baby Bash, Mr.
Now,
Shadow.
Your fans are used to you playing music. How do they feel about you dropping into the Clipper world and doing Clipper talk for Clipper Nation? How are they responding, Whammy?
I haven't got any response. The only ones I've gotten are from you. Of course, you did the retweet. I wish people would listen to my stuff more because I want to do more incredible things. So when I had a chance to call in Jimmy Church, he told me the most important thing is to not give in to other people's demands. Do what you love to do best.
Well, it's a bold new world, Whammy. I mean, you know, it's user-generated. This is like that movie Pump Up the Volume with Christian Slater. And that movie came out on my birthday in the 90s, August 22nd, and it spoke to me, and it should speak to you. Because this is like ham radio, but it goes all over the globe. We are in charge. We are shutting down radio stations. Radio is kind of like the dinosaur. It's like the newspaper. It's done. It's dead as Dillinger. It's extinct, starring Halle Berry, produced by Steven Spielberg. We are the bold new world, Whammy, and keep it going. Keep on keeping on. Keep on trucking. You're doing the right thing. You're getting huge, huge Clipper Nation guests, and Clipper Nation is going to respond. We've got a lot of loyal Clipper Nation followers, and I think your listens are going to just skyrocket now that the playoffs are among us, and people are thirsty for Clipper talk.
Yes, they are. I cannot wait to see how the Clippers do well in the playoffs, because that's what Doc Rivers was brought in. So let's start off with the thoughts. What's your thoughts on the Clippers this season?
This is the first time that they really gave me keys to the castle. I've been a longtime Clipper fan, part of Clipper Nation, season ticket holder since 2002, and started the podcast with the Jaguar, Mike Jaglin, who produces a little show called Storage Wars on whatever cable channel that's on. But he came up to me and said, I want to do a Clippers podcast because there's no Clipper talk in Los Angeles. And I said, yeah, dude, I'm in. Because I've been a Clipper faithful member of Clipper Nation for going on 13 years. I met my wife at a Clippers game. I've been on Clippers Jumbotron more than most Clippers at this point. So I wanted to do this podcast. I am loving the feedback I'm getting. But this season, they gave me crazy access. We did the Clippers podcast last season basically as fans. And we still are fans first. But this particular season, they gave us media access. We're in the locker room. We're in the press conference. We're in Doc Rivers' face asking questions, flies on the wall, getting sound bites. We're in the locker room interviewing the Clippers. We're right there in the nitty-gritty, and it's been fantastic. I can't believe that the Clippers actually gave us this kind of access. I don't think any other team in the league is doing what the Clippers did and said, you know what? We care about our fans. This is a fan first Clipper podcast. We're going to give them access. We're going to give the fans access on the inside. We're going to lift the curtain. You're going to meet the great and powerful Oz. And it's been fantastic. It's been the best season, you know, literally it's been the best season in Clippers history. And what I learned from going to Media Day way back in October or whenever the heck it was, Rivers has been calling these practices, which we've done fewer than we've ever done. But ever since October, they've been having playoff practices. They've had playoff practices for almost, literally a full season. So months and months and months of gearing up for the playoffs, and it's worked. Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan are two different guys than they were last year. They, you know, they're the longest tenured Clippers. They've been the Clippers longer than anybody else. They've only been Clippers. But at the same time, they're still young guys. I think 25 each, maybe 25 and 20, 26. I don't know.
Don't quote me.
I think they're both 25. Anyway, they're young guys. And what Doc Rivers came in this year and did was make them mature, make them older men.
Shit, I'm a man.
Now they went from boys to men, like Motown Philly back again. And Doc Rivers literally enabled that growth. And we've seen it. And that's why I have the most wins ever in Clipper history. We're number one in offense. We're the number one offense in the NBA. We haven't been the number one offense since like World Be Free and the Buffalo Braves in the 70s before our time, whammy.
And so, I don't know anything about the Clippers until the Vito trade, you know?
Oh, the Vito. Oh, really? So you became a Clippers fan when Chris Paul came over?
Yeah, what happened was, this is really unusual for me. I started watching the NBA because my sister introduced me to the Lakers in 2008. I was watching the NBA Finals, you know, with the Boston and the Lakers. She told me that they were trying to win this game, and I saw the score. I saw the score at that time, that Game 6 massacre. I said there was no way they were going to come back. So I forgot about the Lakers until 2010. I saw Ron Artest. He reminded me of Dennis Rodman. Even though I never heard of the name, his connection was Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan was a connection of Space Jam, and since Space Jam has Looney Tunes, and I have a lot of connection with the cartoon world, like anime, manga, and all that stuff. And after watching the performance of Ron Artest, I decided to give the Lakers a season a try. I mean, they basically gave me a chance to learn about the NBA in a nutshell. And then when they had that unceremonious sweep against the Mavericks, I knew that something was going to happen with the Lakers because I felt that there was a connection between the Lakers and their desire to become the de facto franchise, you know, like take over the NBA. And we had the lockout. When the lockout was lifted, the Lakers were supposed to get Chris Paul, and then the thing was vetoed, and then the Clippers got him. And I said, I'm going to keep an eye on the Clippers because I think something strange is going to happen. I mean, I was expecting myself to be a Laker fan because of my association. I live in Hawaiian Gardens, California, a.k.a. Khalifa, Cali for short. That's where my Pocus Pilocus stuff comes from.
Aren't you pretty close to Long Beach over there?
Yeah, Long Beach, Lakewood, Los Alamitos. If you're listening to this podcast, you do not know how very nervous I am because this is the
first. You're listening with your ears, but you're watching with your heart.
I know. Okay. So when I saw how the Clippers performed and how they got Chris Paul and learning of their story
You're a new member of the Clippers ship.
Yeah. I thought I was going to be a Laker fan. And now I'm realizing that everyone who was raised to be Lakers, they're about to have a new experience with the Clippers. They went with Lob City. Now they got Doc Rivers.
When I first moved to Los Angeles, whammy, it was the late 90s. And actually, back then, the Lakers were kind of junky. But they obviously, in 99-2000, started their first of the three-peat, right, with Shaq and Kobe. Mm-hmm. They won in 2000, 2001, 2002. Brand new Staples Arena. They christened the Staples Arena, a.k.a. Staples Center, with a championship. And, you know, when I first got here in the late 90s, Lakers were on the up and up, okay? Then in 99-2000, they won the championship that year. Now, I was on a Comedy Central show called Strip Mall. One of my castmates was Allison Dunbar, who married Sean O'Donnell, a then L.A. King of the hockey L.A. Kings. Now, part of his contract was that he had premier seats to everything at Staples, okay? So I went to see Kings games. I went to see Lakers games. For some reason, because the Clippers back then were second-class citizens, Allison and her husband, then husband Sean O'Donnell, who led the NHL in penalty box minutes that season.
Cool story, bro.
They gave me Clippers and Kings tickets. Excuse me, Lakers and Kings tickets, but they never even thought to give me Clippers tickets. Now, keep that in mind. I would go to Kings games and root for the Kings. Side story, I'd go to Dodgers games, root for the Dodgers. I'd go to Angels games, root for the Angels. Never been to a Ducks game, and I never will.
Yep.
I went to a Lakers game, and for some reason, every time I saw the Lakers, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was Kobe Bryant. I don't know. But I rooted for the away team every single time. And in that season, 99-2000, I actually saw one game per round, including back then it was best of five versus Sacramento Kings. It was tied 2-2. I go to game five. For some reason, I'm rooting for stupid white chocolate Jason Williams and the Sacramento Kings. I have no allegiances to the state capital of Sacramento. I call it Sucktown, for God's sake. I hate Sacramento. But here I am rooting for the Kings and not the Lakers. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with me? Cut to the finals, and I'm rooting for the stupid Indiana Pacers. I have no allegiance to Reggie Miller and his Indiana Pacers. But there I am rooting for the Pacers. I'm just rooting for anybody but the Lakers. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? I love L.A. I love the Dodgers. I love the Angels. I love the Kings. I love the L.A. teams. What is wrong with me? The next season, I go to my very first Clippers game. I have never rooted for a team as hard as I did root for those Clippers. And that was the run-and-gun Clippers. Lamar Odom, Darius Miles, a young Elton Brand, Corey Maggette, Quentin Richardson. They're taking their fists and banging them on their forehead. It was a fun, fun year. The next season, I became a season ticket holder. We traded or got let go of Darius Miles and brought in Andre Miller. He was the missing piece. Andre Miller, in a terrible story, his father passed away, and he had kind of a weird, fluky season. Didn't do it for us that particular season, but I was in. All in Clipper Nation, 2002, and the rest is history. So I've seen the thick and the thin. You know, the good thing about when they were terrible is that I would call my ticket rep and say, look, it's Thanksgiving. I got all my friends and family in from New Jersey, the Mexico, the Northeast. I wanted to take them out to a Clippers game for Thanksgiving. My ticket rep would give me 12 free seats. I mean, literally 14 free seats. We had our own row. You know, I got to coach the third quarter a couple games. Now the tickets are a little bit harder to come by, but they're worth more. And you've invested so much in this team. You just love to see them win. I'm the son of a Cubs fan, so I know about loss. Unlike the Cubs, we will win a championship in my life.
I just saw the ticket prices. They're really high now. I think they're number two or number one. I know the Raptors are at the highest. Which one is it?
Wait, I'm sorry. The Raptors ticket prices are the highest?
That's what I read.
Give me some Raptor news.
I think Canadian currency is worth more. I mean, what's going on in Tonto Ronto?
I hope the Raptors get a little farther. I don't want to talk about them, but I want to say that
Toronto could make some moves. You know, like these crazy sleepy teams in the East, like Toronto and Charlotte, that could actually make some moves and get out of the first round. Maybe Washington. Obviously, all year long, it's been Miami, Indiana, Miami, Indiana. It's going to be a repeat. Eastern Conference Finals, Miami, Indiana. That being said, Miami and Indiana have kind of shown that they're humans, that they're not perfect, that they're not flawless. They've kind of been terrible the past couple months. I read a stat the other day that Miami and Indiana haven't won an away game versus an Eastern Conference playoff team since All-Star break.
Really?
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, obviously those two teams are going to have home court advantage going to the Eastern Conference Finals. But that being said, you know, there's some chinks in the armor there. Excuse my French.
Let me get your thoughts on Griffin's ejection against the Warriors, because I felt that was rigged, and which built up the suspension that he got in the final game. And now I have this fear that it is possible to get him suspended. The Warriors will rig their games in order to force a first round upset and to force the Clippers into trading Griffin for Carmelo Anthony. And on that ejection on December 25th, it almost worked. They did talk about it. Even though they were talks, they pretty much were rumors on a possible trade. But here's the good news. Griffin heard the rumors. He realized that he had to change his ways. He had to become a true superstar. Never got involved in those tussles again. Let me throw this stat at you. Before the ejection, this is his whole career. He was 20.4 points per game. After the ejection, 26.2 per game. The ejection changed him.
Absolutely. He is a different player now than he was on Christmas Day, the anniversary of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is literally, he's come to Jesus. He is a different player than he was versus those hated Oakland Doves on Christmas. And yeah, they got it in his head then, but he's a different guy now, Whammy. So I don't know that they can get in his head. And with the broken rib of Andrew Bogus Bogus.
They have
no defense, okay? So they're this flashy offensive team, right? Except for who's the number one team offensively in the NBA? Who's got the number one offense? Is it the Dubs? No. It's the Los Angeles Clippers. Who's got the number one defense on the three-pointer? The Los Angeles Clippers. So we've got the answer. We've got the answer to the Trash Brothers. A better defender on the point guard is Chris Paul. I think Coach Doc Rivers puts Matt Barnes on Klay Thompson and helps him. I think the Splash Brothers are going to be the Trash Brothers.
There is one thing I do want to talk about with the Clips. Mark Jackson has some guy from Bosnia named Ogden Kuzmic, and I think he's going to use him as a foul shield to preserve Jermaine O'Neal, Draymond Green, and Festus Ezeli so that they will try to get into Blake Griffin's head. And nobody has talked about this, so I'm warning the Clippers right now. Mark Jackson will use Ogden Kuzmic as a foul shield. He may become Aaron Baines 2.0, like how he got Dwight Howard ejected last season in the Spurs-Lakers playoffs.
In the playoffs, Whammy, they're not as stringent with the technicals and the tosses. They let a little bit more go. So it's going to take a lot to get a Blake Griffin thrown out. And Blake is one of the smartest players in the NBA.
Tim Duncan 2.0.
I call him Big Gandhi. BG is not for Blake Griffin. It's Big Gandhi. The dude is a pacifist. You could throw the kitchen sink at him. You could slap his mother in front of him. He's not going to fight. He's going to have a peace march to get a tax-free salt or sugar in India.
Oh, Martin Luther King will really enjoy that.
I have a dream today.
Let me take a little break and give our condolences to Craig Sager, who has been diagnosed with acute leukemia. He's going to have 3 to 4 weeks of treatment, and our thoughts and prayers go out to Craig Sager, the Blazer shirt himself. He represents TNT inside the NBA. Charles Barkley! I hope he get well soon, Craig Sager. We really love you.
Yeah, man, Craig Sager's the best. You know, Ernie beat whatever his cancer was, so I think they got something in the water over there in Atlanta. I think Craig will be back in no time flat.
Man, I really want to see him because I love what he does. Craig Sager was talking with Chris Paul after that miracle comeback against the what you call I can't say it. How do you say it?
Flopfus Flopsley's, not to be confused with the Flopton State Floppiers.
Chris Paul said Easter Pasto. That's probably one of my favorite moments. There was another video where Craig Sager was in the hotel during the Lakers Thunder game, and he showed us his part of his legs in that. I'll show you a YouTube video of it if it's still on there, but it was hilarious. The gang was laughing at his skin, his exposed skin.
Uh-oh, watch out.
Oh, let me talk to you about Madeline Burke and her karate kung fu thing. I think in a previous podcast she actually does the fighting stuff, like defensive stuff, you know, that Karate Kid Daniel-san defensive use. She actually does that?
I think Mad Dog took karate or one of the martial arts as a young girl. And then a photo resurfaced, maybe because of hashtag TBT, Throwback Thursday. I think Mad Dog may have kind of posted this picture herself of, like, she used to do martial arts when she was like a tween or something. You know, back then we didn't have Disney Channel, so you had to do the martial arts. So these tweens were out there, you know, waxing on and waxing off, and she had some sort of photo day at, like, you know, her jujitsu class, and they basically, like, took her image and then, like, put her in, like, a galaxy background or something, or maybe it was a photo drop. I don't think they did green screen or Photoshop back then, but this is definitely when she was a kid, although she still kicks some serious butt, and I'm keeping it PG on Whammy Radio.
Maybe just say the word ass. It works. Trust me on this.
He's a known ass kicker, Matt.
I had this thought when I was thinking about Madeline Burke and her karate thing. Have you ever heard of cosplay?
Of course, cosplay. Yeah, I know cosplay.
If there was a cartoon character or anime character, anybody who you're familiar with, who do you think Mad Dog would best represent? Who would you think she'd be best as?
I would love Mad Dog as, like, the old school Batgirl from, like, the, you know, the campy Batman TV show. Or maybe Mad Dog as Black Canary. I'm literally telling you that I'm clearly a DC Comics fan because I just dropped 2 DC Comics heroin. Batgirl just for me because I think that was my first crush was Batgirl, and then Daisy Duke on the Dukes of Hazzard. I'm dating myself. But I would love Mad Dog as a Black Canary. She's a blonde who kicks some ass. She's in love with Green Arrow. Sure. We love the Black Canary.
Yeah, but my interest is in Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy. Call
me. My only problem with that, Whammy, is that Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy are bad guys, and Mad Dog is clearly one of the good guys.
I know, but sometimes bad and good have no barriers. Not in my world, but I give them the right reasons, if you know what I mean. Like, if they're going to be bad, they're going to be bad. But if there's another bad person that goes beyond their badness, then there has to be an exception to the rule. You know what I mean?
I kind of do, except for my idea of a bad guy is a guy like Elton Brand, Benedict Arnold, traitor to Clipper Nation. I don't think I could ever forgive EB.
Unless they come back against their own free will.
I gotta be honest, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, you know, because the Lakers are just trying to, like, pick up the broken pieces of their franchise. I wouldn't be shocked if they pick up some sort of, like, savvy, washed up veteran like EB, and all of a sudden Kamen and EB come off the bench to try to get some points and rebounds for whoever's coaching the Lakers come October, November 2014. It ain't going to be Mike D'Antoni coaching the Lakers next year. I promise you that.
Here's my greatest fear. The Lakers join forces with the Celtics and get Rajon Rondo. The Lakers want revenge on the Clippers for stealing CP3, and they're going to try and get Rondo. And if that happens, the NBA may rig the season to force a Lakers-Clippers showdown once and for all.
They're going to need a lot more pieces than just Rondo. And from what I'm hearing, Whammy, is that the Lakers are going to go after Eric Bledsoe, which is also a Clipper storyline, clearly. But that being said, Phoenix Suns will probably match whatever offer the Lakers put up there for E-Bled.
I don't want to see that. I wish Eric Bledsoe would come back to the Clippers, but they had to realize that they had to give him up if they wanted to win a title. I mean, one of the things I learned, unfortunately, with the Lakers is that there is no such thing as emotional ties. Everything is business. You have to be willing to give up something you truly love. This was one of the questions I threw to Fred Katz on my podcast. Do you think the Clippers will have to do that very soon? I mean, DeAndre Jordan's contract is going to expire very soon. Not this season, but he is an expiring contract.
Absolutely. You know, I just think it depends on what happens, how far they go, who is instrumental, who do they want to keep on the squad. I mean, at the end of the day, Whammy, we've got Doc, we've got JJ, we've got Blake, and we've got Chris Paul locked in for multiple seasons, okay? I want to say that DJ and Jamal Crawford's contracts expire at the same time, so it kind of depends on what happens this year and next to see what we do to re-up those salaries and those contracts. But, you know, yes, the big three is DJ, Big Gandhi, a.k.a. Blake Griffin, and CP3. That being said, the real true big three is Doc Rivers, Blake Griffin, and Chris Paul. And we've got all three of those guys locked in. You build a team around those guys every time, and you're doing something right.
I need you to do me this big favor. Jimmy Church asked if I could reappear, or if he could reappear and we could do a mid-series report for the Clippers and Warriors. So he told me right after the first two games are done. So what I want is I would like to know if you would want to appear on my podcast with Jimmy Church, your boy Mike Jaglin, you and me, and we would do like a quick 10-minute recap of what goes on with the Clippers and Golden State Warriors in the first round. And if it's successful, we may continue from here on out. Would you be interested?
Yeah, I'm absolutely interested, except for that 10-minute nonsense. We got to go at least 20-30 when we're talking about these clips and these dubs.
Then we'll definitely do it. I'll talk to Jimmy Church. I'll throw him a phone tomorrow. You are following him right now, right?
I would imagine. A Clipcast follows literally everybody. So I would imagine we're following Jimmy Church.
No, definitely follow Jimmy Church, because he is KJCR in your face, from Burbank to outer space. He has that revolution. He's doing Fade to Black. He does conspiracies. I shared a conspiracy with him on the podcast, and that's the Lakers Rondo thing. And right. And he also told me about his experiences with watching the Clippers, with how Blake Griffin would always do some of those prima donna things. And those things were never recorded on NBA TV, which really astounded me. And then when he told me about, when he gave me his response about the ejection, he said that nobody deserves to go through it, but it helps with their maturity. And that, and
the guy is literally a different player after that. After that date, I mean, you had stats to back it up, Whammy.
Yes.
yes, it was a bad thing that happened at that exact moment, and it cost us that W. And that W, if you look back, it's costly because it's the difference between being number two and number three. That being said, I like our matchup versus Oakland more than if we had to go up against Memphis. I look forward to possibly playing Memphis in round two. Obviously, the safe money is on OKC in round two. I really think it's just going to be the no-brainer. Clippers beat the Dubs. Clippers beat the Thunder. Clippers beat the Spurs. And then it's anybody's finals because the Eastern Conference is a joke. Me and Whammy and Jim Church could put up a competitive team in the Eastern Conference.
You forgot Mike Jagelin.
I don't want him on the squad. I've seen what he brings to the table.
Okay, I'll take your chance. Promote my podcast on your podcast because I'm almost done. I have an appearance with Woob Leo Balls.
I gave you the retweet. I'm on the damn show. I don't know what more you want from me. My blood, my firstborn. Come on, Whammy.
Oh, there is one more thing. Tell me about Hair, the musical. I have the song Hair by the Councils. I've been wanting to watch it for a while, but I just could never do it. I did see the song Hair. It was really fascinating, especially since I first learned of it through The Simpsons in that episode with Sherry Bobbins. So I really want to see it.
Archie's losing her hair. It's a great episode. Hair the musical is fantastic. The movie is good, but the actual musical is great. It's definitely an experience. I don't know that there's any local productions going on right now over in Hawaiian Gardens for you to take a look at. You can start with the movie, but maybe just bypass the movie and go to the original Broadway soundtrack. It's great music. It's a lot of hits. And it was a very important musical at the time. It was a musical that I, you know, had the good fortune of being in Washington, D.C. when I was just a scrappy 20-something. It's funny, Whammy. I auditioned for that show. Got the call back, but didn't book it yet. And I cut my hair insanely short. And then they cast me and I was like, oh crap. I was like, I just literally shaved my head and then got caught. They got cast in Hair. The good news is that we ended up doing that production. It started as a 6-week run and ended up being a 6-month run. So by the time we got to that month 6, I was definitely a hairy, no good hippie who needed a haircut big time.
This is my first time ever interviewing a celebrity, and I think I've done pretty well. Thanks a lot for coming into the show. Entertainment and sports go together. I wonder where adult lesbian action goes under.
Well, apparently here on Whammy Radio.
I'll probably play the Cow Sills Hair right after this podcast is over. Give a shout-out to Steve Perrin. Give a shout-out to Mike Jagelin, and I'll see you on the Jimmy Church Connection kind of thing. I'll see you.
All right, Whammy. Good talking to you, brother. Go Clips.
Yeah. Go Clips in the first round. See you guys.
Peace. Whammy Radio.
Your bracket. I rock the whole motherfucking ad and say that racket for the tennis court and I bought your mission. The door to kiss in these glutes or get played like freaks cause I'm the agony that I inflict causes tragedy when I spit. And if you ain't the shit, you better dip, you better flip, you better take off before I break off, make off. Most of you cupcakes are soft, that's why I serve you like a bake-off. I rip your face off like I'm Nicolas Cage. You want the face off? That's ridiculous. I'm Rage, the mic crawler, the night crawler. I smoke them like I'm off that water. Clara Allen's great-granddaughter. We're Andrea, the girl from Virginia. No bones about it. When it's on, I'm about it. I got a niceness that remains raw. My iceness never thaws. Priceless, baby. Hot rage, that's all. Now, shit's about to get so retarded.
showdown, that's how it goes down. I can't slow down. Judge Joe Brown, convicted me your rhyme slaughter. Cause I spit killable syllables, leave them pitiful. The cynical rage, I'm fuck with a bowl. That's what I do. Rage, 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 rage.